Hello, and thank you for joining us on our amazing Medical Cases podcast, a podcast that will bring to you many incredible medical cases documented in reputable medical journals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Sid Watson.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Amazing Medical Cases. In this episode, we will explore Alice in Wonderland syndrome and take a trip down the rabbit hole. Alice in Wonderland syndrome is a set of symptoms which alters body images, altering visual perception, changing the size of body parts and various objects. This condition is most common at night. Like most rare conditions, the cause is generally unknown, although migraine, head trauma and encephalitis can contribute to the condition. Some of the terminology in medical journals is fairly complicated, so rather than perform acrobatic linguistics, I'm going to allow Amazon Polly to take you through the information about Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Alice in Wonderland syndrome is a rare neurological disorder characterized by perceptual distortions, which can include visual distortions, time distortions, bodily changes, derealization, and depersonalization experienced by Alice during her stay in Wonderland, as described in Lewis Carroll's classic children's book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Although we will never know for sure why people experience these symptoms, one method to determine a cause is to reconstruct a medical history, which can indicate the most likely cause is an infectious disease. To understand why Alice in Wonderland syndrome is different to other perceptual syndromes and disorders, we need to realize that distortions differ from hallucinations and illusions. They are neither newly formed perceptions of something that is not there, hallucination, nor actual objects or scenes mistakenly judged to be something else, illusion. They are distortions experienced by a waking individual. The most reported symptoms are micropsia, seeing things smaller than they are, macropsia, seeing things larger than they are, teleopsia, seeing things further away than they are, and dysmorphopsia, seeing straight lines as wavy. Other symptoms can occur, such as plagiopsia, causes a person to see all things as slanted in the same direction. Those with prosopometamorphopsia will see one particular alteration in all the faces they perceive. For example, heavy eyebrows, or one eye that is markedly abducted to the nose, or human faces changing into dragon faces. Normally, patients consult a neurologist or psychiatrist for treatment.
Thank you, Joanne, from Amazon Polly, giving us a brief overview about Alice in Wonderland syndrome. I must admit, some of that terminology is complicated. Moving right along, from artificial intelligence to real intelligence. There are quite a few documented cases, which are very interesting to read as treatments vary. For example, a 30-year-old man presented himself to the doctor for a consultation. Many tests were performed, medication was prescribed, and his condition ceased eventually. Here is the story from the Training and Research Hospital in Aksaray, Turkey.
A 30-year-old patient complained of long-term headaches pulsating on the left-hand side of his head. Nausea with photophobia and phonophobia followed 30 minutes after these symptoms. The patient said that objects around him were larger than normal and appeared distorted. Also, his fingers appeared smaller than normal. He said the condition had been going on for about a year and that the symptoms did not happen every week. His mother and sister suffered migraines, but there appeared to be nothing significant in his own background. He underwent a number of tests, including a neurological and systemic examination, which were normal, a psychiatric examination, which was normal, an MRI, EEG and blood tests, which were all within the normal limit. 500 milligrams of valproic acid was prescribed initially, but as the symptoms continued, he was prescribed 1,000 milligrams. The symptoms then ceased.
Case study number 2 refers to an 8-year-old boy. This article is from Sage Journals, located in the US, UK, Australia, New Zealand, India, Canada, and Singapore.
An 8-year-old boy attended the emergency department with symptoms of recurrent perceptual disturbance. His past medical history was unremarkable with the exception of infrequent night terrors. The patient had been seen initially at an outside emergency department for fever and headache. examination was notable for posterior or pharyngeal erythema. A streptococcal A throat screening test was positive, leading to a diagnosis of streptococcal pharyngitis and treated with intramuscular penicillin. His fever and headache resolved within 12 hours, but in less than 24 hours he was admitted to the emergency department complaining of three episodes of seeing objects being much smaller, micropsia, and further away, teleopsia, than usual and seeing wavy or wiggly lines, dysmorphopsia. These symptoms would continue for 5 to 15 minutes then stop immediately. During the episodes, the child did not have any impairment in consciousness, headache, focal weakness, or abnormal limb movements. The patient did not have a personal history of colic, migraine, cyclic vomiting, or motion sickness. Family history was negative for epilepsy, migraine, neurodevelopmental, or other inherited neurologic conditions. He has 20/20 vision, with normal fundoscopic examination. A complete neurologic examination turned out to be normal. The patient's symptoms were suspected to be related to Alice in Wonderland syndrome, and he was discharged from the emergency department with arrangements for an outpatient EEG and neurologic consultation. It was felt that the patient's perceptual disturbance was consistent with Alice in Wonderland syndrome. Absence of an underlying chronic condition, the family was given reassurance that the symptoms themselves are generally benign and transient. 2 years since initial presentation, the patient has not experienced further perceptual disturbances nor developed migraine headaches.
There is not much more that can be said, except to say that the Alice in Wonderland syndrome is predominantly a neurological condition. Brain operations are not carried out. Instead, the syndrome is treated with medication. This appears to be the cure, if you can consider it to be a cure. Like many mental illnesses, it can be controlled. For the final part of this episode, I wish to turn my attention to Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. There are direct links to why the title Alice in Wonderland Syndrome is used in conjunction with the novel. Alice experiences micropsia and macropsia. There is speculation that Lewis Carroll himself used his own experience with these symptoms. He did suffer badly from migraines. That is known. It is also suggested that he suffered from a temporal lobe epilepsy. In his diary, he is quoted as saying, "Prey to the bilious headaches, curious optical effects, seeing disordered fortifications." And now, here's an excerpt from Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland.
Alice took up the fan and gloves, and, as the hall was very hot, she kept fanning herself all the time she went on talking, "Dear, dear. How queer everything is today. And yesterday things went on just as usual. I wonder if I've been changed in the night? Let me think, was I the same when I got up this morning? I almost think I can remember feeling a little different. But if I'm not the same, the next question is, who in the world am I? Ah, that's the great puzzle." And she began thinking over all the children she knew that were of the same age as herself, to see if she could have been changed for any of them. As she said this, she looked down at her hands and was surprised to see that she had put on one of the rabbit's little white kid gloves while she was talking. "How can I have done that?" she thought. "I must be growing small again." She got up and went to the table to measure herself by it, and found that, as nearly as she could guess, she was now about 2 feet high, and was going on shrinking rapidly. She soon found out that the cause of this was the fan she was holding, and she dropped it hastily, just in time to avoid shrinking away altogether.
Well, sadly, we've come to the end of this episode. I look forward to you joining me again for the next episode of Amazing Medical Cases. Until next time, bye-bye for now.
A podcast series, written, produced and hosted by Sid Watson, recorded at the Floating Palace Studios, in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia.